It is time for our weekly visit with Soy Roy. Roy Smith from Cass County, Nebraska, as we get an update on the markets here this morning at KTIC. And before we jump into the markets this morning, just like to get your impression of Soybean Management Field Days that was held a week ago today in Schuyler. Did you learn anything, Roy?
Well, the one that I went to, I thought it was a very good program, and they had a huge crowd, 160-some, I guess. And, you know, I don't farm very much anymore, but there's always some little tidbits that come along, and in terms of, for instance, the acre program and the very interesting marketing segment there during that part of the session. And, of course, we always have aphids. We always have worries about fungus diseases and things like that this time of the year. So, anyway, it was a good show. I'm glad I went, and, you know, I encourage people to look at going next year. I don't know where it's going to be, but I'm sure there'll be one.
Well, I think this has been a pretty successful program for the Extension and for the Nebraska Soybean Board, and look forward to four more next year, I'm sure. Let's jump into the markets here and kind of look at the week that was. I think we started the week with a pretty wild ride again, and as has been the habit the last few weeks, we get towards the end and there's not a whole lot of movement.
Well, it's been kind of crazy. I was sitting here looking at the chart of the December corn futures, and we had a nice little rally. It looked like corn was going to try to make a run at $4, and then we got right to the resistance level at around 370, and there's a big gap right above that, and the market just sort of fell apart, and it went down and filled a gap on the way down, and so here we sit today with prices right at the contract lows.
So what do we think? Is it just a lack of news? Are we waiting for, you know, some early yield reports? Or is it just kind of the seasonal time of year, Roy?
Well, we've got a big crop out there, and when we have big crops, you know, August and September are not known for being times when the market's going to go up. I mean, the people who are buying corn for livestock and so forth have got their inventories to last until harvest comes, and they try to hold off buying any more cash corn because the basis will probably go down if the crop is as big as everybody thinks it's going to be. And so, you know, you need to have had your old crop long since moved, and the new crop, if you're going to sell any of it ahead of time, that needs to be done. And I know I said that last week, but my opinion hasn't changed. It's my idea, and I'll stay with it.
All right, let's kind of jump to the new crop and maybe switch gears into that and just, you know, are there strategies for this time of year that we can move some of the new crop profitably?
Well, there's two things you need to be thinking about in terms of new crop, two strategies that work pretty well. And, of course, it really helps if you have grain bins and you have your own storage so that any storage cost you have can go towards paying for the capital investment in those grain bins. But the two strategies, number one, is just put the stuff in the bin, make sure it's dry and in good condition, and wait for the market to go up. And in general, it does go up. Futures does not usually go up, but the basis usually improves. And you look at the carry between the December futures and deferred July futures, and chances are the price is going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of where that July futures contract is when we get up to into June of next year. And if that's the case and the basis has improved a little bit, well, you'll pick up 30 or 40 cents. The other possibility is to go ahead and sell the carry, sell the July futures or forward contract with your elevator for July delivery, and take advantage of the difference between the December and July contract. And, you know, every year that'll add 30 or 40 cents, or maybe if you're lucky, 50 cents, but you also have to consider that you have that cost of storage in there.
Same kind of strategy work good on beans, Roy?
Well, with soybeans, first of all, you don't normally get a big carry in the soybean market because by the time the May futures come into delivery, while the South America's got their crop harvested, so you really don't usually have enough carry in the soybean market to make it worthwhile storing. So basically what you do is one of two things. First of all, you look for the dead cat bounce. You know, that's my bread and butter, and what I'm known worldwide for is watching the dead cat bounce. But year after year after year, it has added quite a little to the soybean price in a fairly short period of time in November and December. And the second strategy, if you've got, again, the ability to store it on your farm, put the beans in the bin, wait for the price to go up in the spring. Even though the springtime, we're usually looking at competition from South America, the last couple of years storing beans unpriced has been very profitable, and I certainly wouldn't discourage anybody from doing that.
Before we wrap up here this morning, Roy, just what are you and the neighbors seeing out about in your fields? Any disease pressure, any aphid pressure, things like that?
We've been scouting, but haven't seen anything bad enough to be concerned about. We had an inch and a quarter of rain yesterday, and we had about that much over the previous weekend, so the crops are really looking good, and so we're basically we're keeping an eye on things, but if we can get another couple of weeks here without any disease and insect pressure, we're pretty much home free on this new crop.
For producers that would like more information from you, there are several ways to do that.
Roy@soyroy.com, my email address, soyroy.com, my website.
Appreciate the comments as always there, Roy, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, I'll be here.
Soy Roy, Roy Smith from Cass County, Nebraska, and an update on the markets here at 840 KTIC.